This is a CBC podcast.
The governing Saskatchewan Party put out a new video this week. It highlights the hometown of the province's premier.
This is Shelburne. It's my hometown. It's where I've worked most of my life, and it's where Krista and I were married and were able to raise our children. And it's a great town, like so many other places across Saskatchewan. And it's why I want to keep our economy strong and growing, so that places like this can have opportunities for our young people, for that next generation, and so that your provincial government can continue to invest in important services for everyone in our province. Saskatchewan is a great place to live. Let's keep our communities strong and growing.
That's a new video released by the Saskatchewan Party this week. There is a provincial election this fall. There are also civic elections, and we know people with ties to the Saskatchewan Party are also quietly trying to influence those. For more on all of that, we've reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan, and Marie Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Adam, who's working behind the scenes when it comes to civic elections?
It's a really good question. The short answer is we don't actually know. We have to find out. And that's part of the reason that Jeff Leo looked into this, is that there's a lot of secrecy and there's not a lot of rules behind third-party advertisers in municipal politics. Even in federal provincial politics, it takes a lot of digging to find out sometimes who's behind this. And when you do find out, people don't really want to talk, apparently. So that's one of the issues that's come up, that's been raised in Jeff's story. After Jeff's story, we found out that there's three individuals that are listed associated with this group, Advance Regina, that have ties to the Saskatchewan Party and the Conservative Party. Similar group in Saskatoon, a Better YXE, run by someone who has ties to the Saskatchewan Party out of Calgary. Their agenda is kind of a mixed bag, if you want to call it that. You know, everything from, hey, do we want to really want to rename Dewdney Avenue, to taxes are too high, let's get the city council in check. There's too many radical left agendas going on city council. So the frustrating part for journalists is we'd like to find out, you know, the motivations behind this, who's running it, and have put a face to it, or just at least have, you know, what do you believe in? What are your goals here? Who's backing this? Who's financially behind this? And it turns out that those answers are harder to come by.
What do you make of this?
Well, first of all, they're going to have a hard enough time as the SAS party electing MLAs in Regina and Saskatoon, so that they're putting their emphasis on unelecting councillors and mayoralty candidates they don't like. And I think this is what it's all about, is strange to me. I think there's a legitimate frustration within the ranks of the SAS party that they don't have control over the cities in the same ways they have control over basically every other institution or every other group in the province, because it's problematic for them. They keep making demands. They keep doing this. Sometimes they get unfriendly mayors. They don't particularly in Regina, but Mr. Clark in Saskatoon is certainly no supporter of the SAS party. And I think all this sort of factors into the strategy here. I think sometimes it's a little bit of a government that's lost. Legitimately, there's reason to think that we have problems in Regina City Council, and I look at some of the issues they raise and I agree with some of them. Like, I mean, obviously everybody's worried about the taxes and other problems, debt load on the city government, et cetera. Ironically, we're basically being supported by people who support a provincial government that has kind of similar problems, as I wrote about today. What are you guys worried about? Somebody building a three-story building in the middle of a city park? Yeah, that might be a problem. But you know what? It's a problem at the provincial level too. So there is an interlocking of issues in play here that I find really fascinating. But I think it all comes down to the whole notion that that they don't and feel that they're losing control of the politics in the cities. And they know they have better control over politics in the country, which I suppose is why they suddenly need to support Scott Moe and advertise his political virtues in his own hometown, which I think people kind of already know about.
We heard from Jeff that this particular Advance Regina campaign came after Dan LeBlanc, a councillor in Regina, put forward a motion to stop oil and gas sponsorship in the same way that, you know, cigarette companies or tobacco companies are no longer allowed to sponsor things things because he said it didn't align with the city's pledge to get to net zero by 2030. And we know right away Saskatchewan's premier didn't like that very much. And then this group also came to be, Advance Regina, to try and convince people that some of these city councillors are dangerous left-wing radicals. As you mentioned, Adam, it hasn't just been at the city, though, because you've told us in the past about billboard campaigns that may have played a role in ousting a Liberal MP right here in Regina.
It's almost going to the same playbook, and I think it's one of those things where it starts off with a billboard, and that's what Advance Regina was. And people are going, what's Advance Regina? What's this all about? And then you go to a Facebook page, and then you build up a bit of a following. You could ask for potentially, you know, people to donate to you and say, as Jeff Leo did, to find out, you know, who was behind this in a way.
They're $5.
Yeah, $5
to Jeff.
And then $3 after to see if he was still the 800th or whatever donor. But it's all big, a bit of secrecy behind it as well. And when it came to the Ralph Goodale billboards, those started off very small. There was a group of people in Saskatchewan with ties here that registered that corporation, nonprofit, whatever you want to call it, the third party advertiser. They got the billboards up. They got a lot of attention. They got media attention. And then guess what happened? They went to Alberta. They went to Justin Trudeau's riding, and they put similar billboards up, and they had, you know, success here. You know, we don't know how much success the billboard campaign, but Ralph Goodale lost after many years in power, and he got beat handily by Michael Cram. And so the campaign to me is going by the same sort of beats. And the other similarity is we don't know a lot of the motivation behind this, and some of the folks that were behind the Ralph Goodale billboard campaign as far as donating to it, they also were pretty outspoken about not liking the Dan LeBlanc campaign here in the city.
And what's the consequence of that, Murray? Because if it's the mayor of Regina saying something or the premier saying something, we can follow up and ask them questions. And if they refuse to answer, we can tell you that Scott Moe refused to answer that or Sandra Masters is ducking us on that. But if we don't even know who to ask, what does this mean for the transparency of our democracy? We've already got concerns with companies donating, out-of-province companies donating, and now we have third parties that are not very transparent also trying to influence politics.
It's always about follow the money. The unexplored story that I want to think is how someone got $5 out of Jeff Leo. I think we need to do an investigation.
Jeff's catching strays here. Came right out of that wallet.
I'm laughing. Jeff's a great reporter, and I love Jeff and everything else. And it was a brilliant move. But where is the big money? It's not just $5 that's funding these billboards. It's substantial money to defeat candidates. And as Adam outlined, this was the playbook used to defeat Ralph Goodale. And to be quite frank, if there is a concerted effort by a political team and city council is getting more partisan in its belief, I guess that's just a reflection of reality. We kind of deny that the NDP does seem to run what amounts to a slate of city council candidates or people that are like-minded anyway, and that's where their frustration lies. And sometimes you wish there was the honesty of, well, we know how council is going to vote. They're not going to pretend. But what if somebody actually wants to just be a reasoned and fair-minded person and take his city council position seriously on an issue by issue basis? Is there room for people like that in politics? And that's a critical question that gets lost when we sort of explore this, and it all becomes all about the money and everything else. We need rules. And that's a simple bottom line for this, is we just absolutely need rules, and we need transparency of those rules, which is, as Adam outlined, we're just not getting right now.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about the Shelbrooke video, which is just a nice hometown video, and the Saskatchewan Party is announcing all its candidates and sort of highlighting them, and obviously the premier's special in order to get his own video. That all makes sense. But why play up the rural roots right now when there may be city issues for the SAS party in the next election?
I think this is the unofficial launch to the campaign, and you're going to back your number one horse, and that's Scott Moe. That's why his face is on every billboard. It's not Scott Moe with his candidate. It's Scott Moe, you know, with the slogan of the budget. And that is the brand of the SAS party right now. It was the brand when Brad Wall was in power. They see that Scott Moe is continuing to poll fairly strongly, especially when compared to other premiers. It makes a lot of sense. And Scott Moe really plays up that, you know, he's very soft-spoken in that That's what it gets me, especially when you're listening to it. It's different from sort of the firebrand Scott Moe that we see sometimes going after Trudeau, going after the NDP.
Yeah, good point.
And so I think that's a bit of that. You know, this is I'm like you. I grew up in a small town. Maybe you moved to the city, but I represent your values. And we know a lot of people that have moved from rural Saskatchewan, smaller towns to the cities. And so it's not just saying, hey, I'm like you. I live out here. I go work in the city as well. And I come back when I'm always this guy. And I think that is playing up that. And also at play is the Saskatchewan United Party, which I don't think is a threat to Scott Moe in Rossha and Shelbrooke, does have a candidate there. And they have about 8 candidates and they are running in the cities. And so that's something that's going to continue to be, I'm curious to see how that plays out over the next few weeks.
You wrote about this today. What did you say?
I appreciate the clarity that Scott Moe's hometown is in Dubai. And I appreciate I think it's as Adam says, he needs the softer image because he's yelling all the time and he's yelling in a deep voice. So sounding like someone like me is probably a good move for Scott Moe. You don't want my voice, but
you're going for that.
Yeah, surely you don't want my voice. But a little bit of a softer edge to Scott Moe going into an election is not a good thing. And talking about his family and everything else, as when contrasted to Carla Beck, I think is critical. But I think it's about an older issue, Steph, and that is that for whatever success the Saskatchewan Party has had, and it's obviously had it in terms of building the population of this province, it's built it in Regina, it's built it in Saskatoon particularly, but it hasn't built it in places like Shelbrooke. That since Scott Moe was elected, MLA in 2011 have lost 7.2% of its population. And I think that gnaws away at people in these small communities who now see them having the government that they want, but still seeing the same old problem. It's not about electoral success. Scott Moe had 79% of the vote, and they averaged 72% of the popular vote. SAS party candidates averaged that in rural Saskatchewan in 2020. There's no defeating them in rural Saskatchewan, and thus they're going to form government. So it all seems a little strange that they're basically making this focus all about winning in rural Saskatchewan, not winning, but you know, appealing to that rural vote when their problem is obviously in the cities. But it, in another way, it doesn't make sense in terms of what issues are most critical to their formula and their success. The SAS party and rural Saskatchewan are one. They're tied together in terms of their issues. And we often joke that, you know, and Scott Moe has said bluntly that he goes back to Shelbrooke for his advice. And sometimes that's about COVID. Sometimes that's about Bill 137. But sometimes it's just basically being able to relate to a province that's very much built on the notion that we are a bunch of hometowns all put together in one big entity.
Thanks, you guys.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.